Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive as we talk both local and national sports. And on the show today, we're going to talk quite a bit of national sports. We'll sprinkle in some local sports, give you an update of what happened over the weekend. But it is a very, very big week. Well, we had college football this past Saturday. No disrespect, but it was basically an appetizer for what's coming up this Saturday. The main course is packed with some very entertaining college football games. It is highlighted by number 14, Michigan, at number 12, Notre Dame, number 8, Miami, at number 25, LSU. I mean, there's some very compelling football games. Vatek and Florida State. Washington is taking on Auburn, a couple of top 10 matchups there. So, again, college football this Saturday, it's back, and it is going to be for real. We will talk some college football a little bit later on the show. And now that we're through week three of the NFL preseason, the countdown is on for some actual meaningful football. We'll talk NFL storylines. And in fact, I want to start with an NFL storyline right now. Odell Beckham Jr. has agreed to a contract extension with the New York Giants, making him the highest paid wide receiver of all time. We knew this was coming. Odell wanted somewhere around the $20 million range. He didn't get that, but he did agree to a five-year extension. Three-time Pro Bowler can receive a maximum of $95 million over the course of this five-year extension. $65 million of that will be guaranteed. Now, this deal eclipses what Antonio Brown got, $17 million per year average, and it tops what Mike Evans got, $55 million in total guarantees. All of those squads, I'm talking about Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, I'll even throw LA out there with Brandon Cooks. They set the market for Odell Beckham, and that's why the NFL is so interesting when you talk salary figures and what these guys are getting paid, because the next one has to be bigger than the previous one. You're setting the market. Beckham, $8.4 million on the fifth-year option of his rookie contract this year. The agreement reworks this year's contract into a $1.4 million salary with a $20 million signing bonus. The Giants will save $3 million against the cap. He's been looking for a contract extension for quite some time. Probably the better part of, what, 2-3 years? He was optimistic that a deal would get worked out, and now he's under contract until 2023. Still a couple of other NFL deals that need to get worked out, one being Aaron Donald in Los Angeles through three preseason games. He hasn't appeared at any practice, camp, nothing. Just no sign of Aaron Donald. I want to believe this guy is in shape, ready to go. There is a report surfacing that the Rams are close to giving Donald $22 million annually on an $80 million guaranteed contract. That would be a big deal. And then if that domino falls, which I expect it to before the Raiders close in on Khalil Mack, that would be the next big storyline. If Mack, in fact, plays for the Raiders at all, or if the Raiders actually ship him off, that's been a hot topic as of late. So Beckham, that domino was fallen. We've already talked about Julio Jones a couple of weeks back. Now we're down to the two biggest names on the defensive side of the ball. Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack. You can make an argument they're 1 and 2 as far as the defensive ranking players go, the individual defensive player rankings go. That's some news coming out of the NFL. Also, this broke a little bit earlier today, and the New England Patriots, who caught Kenny Britt last week. You know, when the Patriots signed Eric Decker, I thought, yeah, I like this move. It's a very New England Patriots thing to do. Kenny Britt leaves. They cut him last week. No Julian Edelman for the first 4 weeks of the season, and now Eric Decker calling it quits. That definitely hurts the New England Patriots just a little bit as far as the depth chart goes. Bill Belichick talking about Eric Decker and the wide receiver position earlier today.
I mean, he's had a great career. I have a lot of respect for Eric. I'm going all the way back to when we talked to him coming out of Minnesota, when Josh drafted him, and you know, Tennessee, Jets, and so forth. So enjoyed working with him. Again, really have a lot of respect for him, what he did, and you know, I think he's decided to retire from football. So we wish him well and appreciate what he did. Our entire team, we all have a lot of work to do. We have a lot to prove at every position. None of us have done anything this year, the 2018 season. So I think we're all on the same boat on that one. Coaches, players, whatever position you want to look at, we all have a long way to go. We'll see where we get to.
You know, Bill Belichick making reference to Eric Decker's time in Denver. That was pretty monumental when you go back and you take a look at Bronco history. That 1-2 punch with Demaryius Thomas, pretty prolific, to say the least. Peyton Manning had a great 1-2 option. Decker caught 172 passes for 2,352 yards and 22 touchdowns during his two seasons with Peyton Manning, and he turned that into a big contract from the Jets. Now, his play slipped significantly in 2014 and 2015, playing just three games. Injuries really played a factor. The Jets cut him. He played a minimal role last year in Tennessee's offense, and I really thought that this could be a bounce-back year for Decker playing with Tom Brady, just because Tom Brady has done some magic with undrafted rookies or undrafted individuals that haven't really found that niche anywhere else. I thought that maybe this could be a resurgence for Decker towards the end of his career. He ends his career with 439 catches, 5,816 yards, and 53 touchdowns. That ranks 28th, 28th, and 11th in the NFL since he entered the league back in 2010. The Patriots, as far as their depth chart goes, it looks a little bit different at wide receiver. In fact, as it sits right now, they only have three on the roster, which is crazy going into week four of the preseason. Eric Decker retires. They release Kenny Britt, Malcolm Mitchell, and Jordan Matthews. And right now, it's Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, Cordarrelle Patterson. And remember, Julian Edelman is suspended for the first 4 weeks of the season. So it's basically Hogan, Dorsett, and Patterson, Matthew Slater, Riley McCarron, Devin Lucian, Braxton Berrios, and Paul Turner are also on the roster, but it's a long shot for these guys to make the 53-man roster, which leads me to believe that the Patriots are going to have to look on the waiver wire or the free agent pool to bolster this wide receiver depth. And with that, brings a name that I know we've talked an awful lot about, Dez Bryant. Would it be the ultimate Patriot move to bring in Dez Bryant, who is still without a team at this stage? I think so. I'll tell you another one. Jeremy Maclin is floating around out there. Would not be a bad pickup for the Patriots. They can make it work with just about anything. Like I said, you go back and you look at who they have had at wide receiver during Tom Brady's magnificent run over the last 15, 16 years. Don't forget that there's probably an opportunity to lure someone in via trade as well, to lure a team to make a deal at this particular time, and we've seen the Patriots do that in the past as well. But to me, two names stand out. Jeremy Maclin, Dez Bryant. I'm going to go out on a limb and say one of those two guys is wearing a Patriot uniform within the next couple of weeks. Let's take a look at some of the other headlines in the NFL. Speaking of wide receivers, Josh Gordon will not start week one for the Cleveland Browns, but he is back with the team, and he says he hasn't really missed a beat. Interesting story here. Everything that Josh Gordon has been through, it's a story that's worth following in the NFL. Here's Josh Gordon talking about what it's like to be back with his team.
As it relates to football, I'm doing well. And I'm glad I was able to have the opportunity. And good to be here. And I feel grateful for the opportunity to have the chance to come out back out here and be with my teammates and enjoy this beautiful atmosphere. It's awesome. It really is. The standpoint of, you know, the organization, front office, administrative people, and my teammates especially, good friends of mine, family members. It's a resounding positive effect that I've been getting, and it's great to have that. It's great to see that love and feel that love and give it back.
A lot of news surrounding the NFL and wide receivers. Again, that was Josh Gordon talking about his time with the Cleveland Browns. He will not start week one, but I think we're going to see Josh Gordon at some particular time this season. And if the Browns are going to improve by 4 to 5 wins, which I think is very reasonable, you know, typically when you talk about a team improving by 4 or 5 wins, that puts them in the playoff picture. Not the case for a team that's won 1 out of their last 32 games. Let's move over to Major League Baseball, because the standings are starting to tighten up a little bit as we get down to the final 30 games of the baseball season, because August, it's almost gone. Now, before we take a look at the schedule, a quick look at the standings. The Boston Red Sox hold a 6-game lead on the Yankees. Boston has played below 500 baseball over the last 10 games. They've lost 6 out of 10. The Yankees, on the flip side, have won 8 out of 10. And because of that, the Yankees have narrowed that gap to 6 games. Red Sox still fine with 30 games to go. Tampa Bay in a distant third right now at 19.5 back, 70 and 61. In the Central, still the Indians division. It has been all year long. The Indians have not played great baseball, but that division stinks. It's that horrible. They're 74 and 56 and 13 games up on the Indians. And in the AL West, I liked Oakland to come back and win the AL West, but since then, since they were tied, because the A's tied the Astros just last week, Houston has won 5 straight. The A's have played pretty good ball. They've won 7 out of 10, but that gap has grown. Houston now 1.5 games up on the A's, who seem to be a surefire lock for an AL wildcard spot at this particular time. Yankees, A's in a 1-game wildcard matchup. I love it. National League, we start with the East. The Braves, they've created a 3-game cushion with the Phillies. They've played 500 ball over the last 10 games. The Phillies, they've played okay baseball. I mean, they're 4-6 over the last 10, but still the Braves have created a 3.5-game lead. The Nationals, they're 1 game under .500. They just continue to sink deeper and deeper. In the Central, the Chicago Cubs now 4 games up, not on the Brewers, but the Cardinals. The Cardinals at 73 and 58. And despite the fact that the Cardinals ran into some problems with the Rockies over the weekend, they're still 0.5 game up on the Milwaukee Brewers. Right now, if the playoffs were to begin, the Central would have 3 teams. Cubs is the division winner. The Cardinals and the Brewers would be your 2 wild card teams. And in the NL West, been a tight race all year long. The Dodgers not going away. They needed a sweep at the hands of the Padres, and that's exactly what they got. But still, it's Arizona's division. They have won 7 out of their last 10. They hold a 1-game lead over the Rockies. The Dodgers 2.5 back of the Diamondbacks and 1.5 game back of the Rockies. So that's the way the Major League Baseball standings sit as we get down to the final 30 games of the regular season. Now let's take a look at the action today. It is a rather short slate of baseball games. Beginning in the 5 o'clock hour tonight on ESPN, we get the White Sox and the Yankees. Also in the 5 o'clock hour, the Orioles play host to the Blue Jays, and we get the Nationals on the road to take on the Phillies. Oakland will travel on the road to meet Houston. Start time for that game is set for 6 p.m. We get the Mets and the Cubs at 6:05. 8 o'clock hour tonight, second game on ESPN, Rockies-Angels. Huge game for NL West purposes. And right after that, we get the Diamondbacks and the Giants at 8:15. And again, another huge game. The Rockies are rolling out John Gray. The Diamondbacks, they're rolling out Patrick Corbin. It's becoming apparent that in order to get into the playoffs in the National League West, you're going to have to win the division. And that's a quick look at what's happening on the national sports front. A couple of topics we're going to touch today. Manu Ginobili calls it a career. We got to talk a little bit about Ginobili last week. I got some bizarre stats on this guy. It's the end of an era in San Antonio. Have nothing but mad respect for Manu Ginobili. It is a career, and with that, the page is turned in San Antonio. No Tim Duncan, no Manu Ginobili, no Tony Parker, and there's not even a Kawhi Leonard to continue that silent but deadly persona that the Spurs have held over the last 2 decades. It's a sad day in the NBA. Also, we're gearing up for college football on Saturday with some marquee matchups, and the USC Trojans will be rolling out a freshman quarterback, a true freshman quarterback. A little bit of a surprise, maybe. Clay Helton does things his own way. That's all coming up on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with a high school football scene. And on Friday night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the Emory Spartans dropped to 0-2 on the season after suffering a 42-17 loss to the Grand Red Devils. Emory fell behind 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, and that deficit ballooned by halftime as Grand carried a 35-7 lead into the break. Despite the loss, the Spartans found success on offense. They gathered a total of 273 yards. 164 of that came from senior quarterback Kyson Stilson, who finished 17 of 30 for 164 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions, one of which went back for a pick six. On the ground, Emory found some success as well. Rance Jensen finished with 68 yards, while Stilson managed to scramble for 32. Now 0-2 in the non-region season, the Spartans will have an opportunity to log their first victory of the year when they travel on the road to meet the Payson Lions this Friday. You will be able to listen to live coverage of the game beginning at 6:30 with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. Kickoff is scheduled for 7 p.m. Now we stick with high school football, but we move over to Carbon High, and the Dinos suffered a 38-7 loss to that same team that Emory will play this Friday in Payson. The Dinos struggled throughout the contest offensively, but showed marked improvement on the defensive side of the ball, allowing just 72 yards of passing yards from quarterback Hank Bowers. Now, the rushing attack was a different story. Payson managed to really apply pressure as Harrison Judd, the senior standout back, rushed for 127 yards off of 14 carries and found the end zone twice. The Dinos scored their lone touchdown off of a turnover. It was a muffed punt by Payson. Carbon took over at the Payson 40 and marched in for six as Colin Lewis scored his second touchdown of the season. Following the contest Friday on KRPX 95.3 The Peak, we caught up with Coach Josh Huntsman, and he talked about his team's performance.
We've got to shore some things up offensively. We've got to block a little bit better down on that 30-degree angle. We've got to be able to kick out a little bit better. We've got to be able to tuck it up in the hole. You know, I felt like we had opportunities that we just didn't take advantage of tonight. But overall, I mean, we're working for week one mm-hmm. of region, and so this is a good contest for us. You know, Payson's a good football team. They beat Ben Lomond last week 25-0. You know, so they're no slouch, and we stayed with them there for the full first half of the ball game and actually only gave up 3 points in the third quarter.
The Dinos will return to the football field this Friday to take on Duchesne, a 1A school, in the third non-region tilt of the season. Live coverage will begin on KRPX 95.3 The Peak, beginning at 6:30 with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. Kickoff will follow shortly after at 7. We move over to junior college athletics, and the USU Eastern Lady Eagle squad opened up the 2018 regular season schedule over the weekend in Richfield at the Snow College Invitational inside the Sevier Valley Center. The Eagles walked away, splitting the weekend's four games with wins over Eastern Wyoming and Central Wyoming. After 3 weeks of preparation, the Eagles were ready to get the ball rolling on Friday with a game against Western Wyoming, which ended in a 3-2 loss. Quickly, the Eagles turned around on Friday and picked up a 3-1 win over Eastern Wyoming. And then early Saturday morning, the Eagles started their day with an impressive 3-0 sweep of Central Wyoming. The final game of the tournament on Saturday was a 3-1 loss to a tough Eastern Arizona squad. And finally today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we'll be joined by Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher who played for the San Francisco Giants and now serves as an analyst for the team on NBC Sports Bay Area. Lasky joins us each Monday to talk Major League Baseball. On top of that, we'll go over more high school sports and continue to prepare for the opening week of the NFL, which you'll be able to listen to on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, Monday edition of the show, live from the Auto Farm Studios. It's a big week. College football is finally back. I know we had college football this past Saturday. Call it week zero. Like I said, it's an appetizer. We have 86 college football games this week. The Utah Utes are going to make the return to KOAL Thursday night. They'll take on Weber State. Again, if you're a Ute fan, it's an appetizer. It's not a game you have circled on your calendar by any means, but it's college football and it's back. So that's great news. I will say this, if we're talking the state of Utah, BYU has one of the more compelling games of the weekend. I'd say it's a top 10 game based off storylines. Khalil Tate, Arizona quarterback, playing host to BYU. Anytime Khalil Tate is on the field, to me, you have to watch. Plus, Kevin Sumlin, who I think is a very underrated coach, and I was stunned that it took this long, or that long, I should say, for Kevin Sumlin to get a team this past offseason. With all the storylines and all the coaching changes, for some reason, it took Sumlin an awful long time to land a gig. Lands in Arizona, and again, this is a game that Ute fans should definitely pay attention to. Not only, if you're a Ute fan, do you root against BYU, but at the same time, Sumlin, who I think is a terrific mind, I think he's a great coach, I think it was a terrific hire for Arizona, he gets a team which really they've recruited well over the last couple of years. He inherits a team that is capable of winning the Pac-12 South this year. They can contend for the Pac-12 South title. And I say that because the Pac-12 South, it's completely up in the air. Utah, to me, some question marks defensively up front. I think they look fantastic as far as the secondary goes. There's question marks at quarterback. Can Tyler Huntley stay healthy? How much is too much of Zach Moss and how much is not enough of Zach Moss? There's a lot of question marks, at least in my mind, with the Utes. But they're a contending team. UCLA, I have no idea what to expect from a Chip Kelly-led squad. How long does it take him to turn around the mess that he inherits at UCLA? And then USC, who I believe is a front runner in the Pac-12 South, starting a true freshman quarterback, there's going to be growing pains at some point in time. And don't bring up Jake Fromm at Georgia, because Fromm initially was not the starter, and he had NFL talent all around him, including the best 1-2 punch out of the backfield in Chubb and Michelle last year. So to me, the Pac-12 South is wide open. And if you're looking for quarterback play, look no further than Khalil Tate. That right there is enough to tune in and watch this game. Now from a BYU standpoint, year three under Kalani Sitake. The Cougars are coming off a 4-8 record last season. First losing season this team has had since 2004. I was in high school the last time BYU had a losing record. Last year, it was not fun. It was not entertaining. And Tyson Whiting, who joins us every year to talk BYU football, we'll get his thoughts on this game a little bit later on in the week. But BYU completely revamped their offensive staff. Jeff Grimes is going to be handling the play calling duties. Tanner Mangum edges out Zach Wilson, a freshman, for the starting quarterback job. You're going to see both players at some point in time, especially if the offense struggles early. These two teams opened up the season against each other back in 2016. BYU got the edge in that one, 18-16. I like this game an awful lot, and it's a make-it-or-break-it year for Kalani Sitake. That seat is extremely hot, and I think he takes full responsibility for that, and he brings in a veteran group to help revamp that offensive staff. I love Jeff Grimes. I'm curious on two ends of the coaching staff here. Again, I'm a huge fan of Kevin Sumlin. Love what he's been able to accomplish over the course of his college football career. Proof is in the pudding when you take a look at the conference that he has coached in. And on the flip side, Kalani Sitake is coaching for his job this year. BYU at Arizona is a top 10 game. Definitely have to watch that one on Saturday. Outside of that, I mean, again, there's a lot of ranked football action. Alabama at Louisville. It's Alabama, front runners to win the national championship. Of course, you got to pay attention to Alabama, including their quarterback situation, which we talked about in depth last week. Oklahoma and Florida Atlantic. Say, really? Yeah, Florida Atlantic is intriguing to me this year. Lane Kiffin has done wonders at Florida Atlantic. 2017, they ended on a 10-game winning streak. Now, you could take a look at the schedule and take a look at the strength of what Florida Atlantic was going up against, but still, Lane Kiffin sells tickets and he brings in viewers, regardless if you like the guy or not. Oklahoma, life after Baker Mayfield. Number one pick in the NFL draft, Heisman Trophy winner. Really, Oklahoma should have been playing in the national championship. Colossal meltdown in that game against Georgia. How do you respond from that? This is a fun game, too. Kyle Murray, impressive in limited time last season, beats out Austin Kendall for the right to replace Baker Mayfield. He can run the football, needs to be a little bit more consistent through the air. I like this game. Again, Oklahoma probably wins, and they win by two or three scores. But here's a real chance for Lane Kiffin to fire back to all the naysayers. He did it last year by getting Florida Atlantic to 10 games. But the fact is, they're on the road against Oklahoma, a team fresh off disappointment last year without Baker Mayfield. This is a game I think you have to pay attention to. West Virginia and Tennessee, that's number 17 West Virginia, going up against an unranked Tennessee team. Less than 500 miles separate these two teams. West Virginia is loaded on talent, and they have been for quite some time. And we talk a lot to Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports. By the way, I love Athlon Sports for college football. They do a tremendous job. That's why we get Antoine on the show each week during the college football season. Will Greer has the capability of being an All-American quarterback for West Virginia, and he has a couple of options on the outside. So I think West Virginia puts up a lot of points. I think there's going to be a lot of high-scoring games with West Virginia, and we've come to see this over the last, I don't know, what, 5-10 years. West Virginia lights up the scoreboard. Tennessee, they have a stud running back in the backfield by the name of Ty Chandler. Let's see if they can keep West Virginia's offense off of the field. That's a fun game. Top three games that you have to watch this weekend. I'm going to leave Vautech and Florida State out of it, although I do love DeAndre Francois. He was my pick for the Heisman last season. His year ended prematurely with a knee injury. I love Vautech and Florida State. I leave that out of my top three. I'll start with the number three game to watch this weekend. That's Miami and LSU. Number 8 Miami taking on number 25 LSU. It's a showdown between two of the top programs in the country, and they have very tough games ahead. LSU always brings in a bunch of talent. Ed Orgeron enters looking for, I'm not going to say an identity offensively, but Darius Geis is no longer there for LSU. And because of the way last season ended with LSU blowing a game to Notre Dame in the Citrus Bowl, I'm curious to see which direction LSU goes. You got to get a new go-to guy out of the backfield. You got to do that. Miami, on the flip side, they're looking to win the ACC's Coastal Division for 2 years in a row. And once again, they will push for a college football playoff bid. They were there last year. Remember, they slaughtered Notre Dame on national television. Everybody thought the U was back. Rick has done a tremendous job. Need a little bit more consistency. Malik Rozier, made some mistakes down the stretch last season. Defense, one of the best in the ACC. I think Miami wins this game, and I think Miami wins it handedly. And again, it's at a neutral site. It's in Arlington. But Miami, LSU, Ed Orgeron, based off what I saw from Miami last year, I'm going to say this is game number three of the weekend. Second best game coming up this Saturday, I'm going to go Washington and Auburn. It's number 6 versus number 9, so based on the rankings, it is the top game of the weekend. Chick-fil-A kickoff game. Pac-12 did not show up in the bowl season last year. Washington is a squad that I know a lot of people have high expectations for. Look, if we talk Pac-12, the South may be wide open, but the North is not. Everything should run through Washington and the Pac-12 North this year. They're fun. They're entertaining. As far as what they have defensively, they lost a lot of talent over the last couple of years. Chris Peterson's lost a lot of talent defensively into the NFL draft. But Washington last year, when you take a look at Jake Browning returning, terrific quarterback, maybe the best quarterback of the Pac-12, it's possible. Miles Gaskin, get this kid in space, he's explosive. See, the Pac-12 North has way more offensive options as far as explosive players go. Because you also have a kid by the last name of Love for Stanford. He's pretty good. But immediately the Pac-12 is going to be tested because you have Auburn. And again, we're talking about a neutral site because it's Chick-fil-A kickoff game. But immediately Washington has an opportunity to prove that they belong. They belong in the playoff bid. Right now, Washington at number 6. We knew they would be the highest ranking Pac-12 team going into the preseason polls. I just didn't know where they would fit. And based off what they have coming back and based on what they've been able to accomplish over the last couple of years, 6 is a great spot to be, but let's be real, it's kind of a slight. And I know that if you follow enough college football, you know that there is, should we say, a bias against the West. There is. Because those who vote in the East Coast are not watching Pac-12 football at 1 a.m. in the morning. They're not doing it. So it's an opportunity for Washington to top a top 10 team, but at the same time, beat one of the best that the SEC has to offer. The SEC has 3 teams in the top 10. Alabama 1, Georgia 3, and then Auburn at number 9. solid opportunity for the Pac-12 to make some noise. Washington, Auburn, second best game of the weekend. Number one, it's featuring number 14 and number 12. Michigan is at Notre Dame, and I'll tell you why this is the best game to watch of the weekend. All the hype surrounding Harbaugh over the past 3 years, and Michigan's been close. I mean, a couple of things here or there have really altered the way we view Harbaugh. Brian Kelly took Notre Dame to the national championship in 2012. That was supposed to be the return of this program. They were dreadful 2 years ago. They go 4-8. The losing coach, and we're talking about two high-profiled coaches. I believe Brian Kelly has the second most wins in FBS right now among active coaches. He's ahead of Urban Meyer, if I'm not mistaken. The loser of this game is instantly on the hot seat because you have two fan bases that are growing tired of, I don't even want to say mediocre, but average ways. Also, Michigan will hold the a kid that I believe is going to be the front runner to be the number one pick in the upcoming NFL draft in Shea Patterson. Patterson is the quarterback that Michigan fans have been waiting for since Jim Harbaugh took over. 8-5 last season. What's their identity going to be offensively? I've been waiting for on that since Harbaugh arrived. What's the identity of this offensive group in Michigan? That I don't know. Shea Patterson is exactly what Michigan fans have been waiting for. On the flip side, Notre Dame, here's a team that's got to replace two linemen that were drafted in the top 10 this past NFL draft. Quentin Nelson, Mike McGlinchey, gone. Notre Dame looked phenomenal through the first 6-7 weeks last year. They pressed Georgia, having a chance to win that game late, but ultimately falling short as Brandon Wimbush, team starting quarterback, fumbled the football. And Wimbush is a huge question mark. See, again, opposite ends of the spectrum. Michigan has who could be the number one pick in the upcoming NFL draft. Notre Dame has a kid that I believe has all the athletic ability in the world, but needs to take a step forward as far as consistency through the air. This is a big game. And right off the bat, one of these two squads, and again, if you're in the top 15 in the preseason pool, you have a great chance of getting to the college football playoff. You control your own destiny. But right off the bat, one of them will take a huge hit as far as the playoff odds go. Notre Dame, Michigan, to me, you got the maize and blue. You got Notre Dame may wear green. It's a green out in South Bend this weekend. When you have these two programs getting together, it doesn't matter if it's the first game of the season, last game of the season. It doesn't matter if teams are 11-0 or 0-11. It's primetime football, and you can't miss it. Three games you do not want to miss this weekend. Set the DVR if you're going to follow your favorite team, and your favorite team is not one of the six that I'm about to mention. Miami LSU, can't miss that game. Highly entertaining. Of course, we have to mention Auburn and Washington. If you're a Ute fan, you need to watch this game anyways. But that's number 6 versus number 9 in a kickoff classic. And number 14, Michigan at number 12, Notre Dame. Two iconic programs and an iconic stadium, both ranked in the top 15. With the Harbaugh-Kelly storyline, Shea Patterson, is he the savior in Michigan? Is he the guy that we've been waiting for Harbaugh? And what does Notre Dame do at quarterback? Can't miss those three games. Excellent weekend of college football. Do not forget the week of college football will kick off right here on KOAL, AM 750, 107.3 FM. This Thursday is the Utah Utes take on Weber State to start the season. Like I said, it's one of those games where if you're a Ute fan, you're just happy that football is back. Live coverage is going to begin at 5 p.m. Kickoff for that game is set for 6. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. It's a Monday edition of the show, and we are live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on KOAL. Back in just a moment.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard! He got the shot off! Lillard got it! Win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trailblazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. Again, we are live from the Auto Farm Studios, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. A little bit of a change to the schedule today. Bill Lasky, who typically joins us every Monday to talk Major League Baseball, unable to call into the show today. Bill is participating in a charity fundraising golf tournament at the moment. We'll try to get Bill on a little bit later on in the week to talk Major League Baseball. And we're getting down to it. 30 games left in the regular season. This is when it counts. This is when baseball is fun, right? Even if you're a casual fan, this is the time of year that you start paying attention to baseball. Final 30 games of a 162-game season. Yeah, that's a big deal. And we got about 15, 20 minutes left here on this Monday edition of the show, and there's still a couple of things I want to talk about. Dallas Cowboy fans. My gosh, relax. I swear, this fan base overreacts all the time. And if there's a reason as to why the Cowboys are under the microscope and I guess the subject of constant scrutiny, a lot of it has to do with the fan base. Last night's football game was awful. I get it. 8 turnovers. Terrible. The Cowboys have not won a preseason game yet this season. Trust me, I understand that was probably hard to watch last night. You're okay. It's preseason. And your expectations, not based on last night's game, but the expectations from a realistic standpoint, coming from someone that does not hate the Cowboys. I do not hate the Cowboys. I'm not anti-Dallas in any way, shape, or form. But I have the ability to look at things from a realistic standpoint. The Cowboys may be the fourth best team in the NFC East. Definitely not the best. Not better than Philadelphia. Definitely not the second best team. I'm not putting you ahead of Washington. And I really don't know what to expect from the New York Giants this year. I think Eli has a playmaker out of the backfield. I think Saquon Barkley is going to take the league by storm. I think he's going to be very, very good. Odell Beckham is paid. He is happy. When Odell Beckham is happy, it's a different look offensively. And Eli Manning hasn't been outstanding over the last couple of seasons, but he's been good. He's been good enough. Defensively, I don't know what you're going to see out of the Giants. I don't know if the Cowboys, I don't think they win 7 games. I really don't. And I'm not basing anything off of what I saw last night. Just have to remind people, it's preseason. And the Cowboys have already endured some massive injuries like Zach Martin. It's a bad injury. We're talking about one of the best guards of the game. You take a vanilla approach to preseason football. In Los Angeles, starters have not even played. And Ndamukong Suh played for the very first time this past weekend. The New England Patriots, it's as vanilla as possible at this standpoint. They have 3 legitimate wide receivers on the roster. All right, the Philadelphia Eagles, your Super Bowl champions, lost a game Thursday night 5-0 to the Cleveland Browns. Nick Foles threw 2 interceptions in that game. We haven't seen Carson Wentz. Relax. It's okay. Preseason is for the likes of Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. That's what this is all about. Darnold led the Jets on two touchdown drives, and he's going to be the starter. See, that's what preseason was for that guy. The Cowboys are a 7-win team this year, regardless of what happened last night in the preseason. I don't care. Couldn't hang on to the football. I get it. Relax. Let's move away from the NFL. I want to talk NBA basketball because, again, end of an era today. Manu Ginobili retiring, officially announcing his retirement. It is the end of an era in San Antonio, and it's the end of an important era that we will look back on and say, yeah, you know what, 15, 20 years from now, you can tell your kids or grandkids that you got to watch the San Antonio Spurs. They were the pillar of consistency in the NBA. That was a team every year that nobody was talking about at the beginning of the season. Nobody was ever talking about San Antonio. I mean, really, when you go back and you look at the time frames in which San Antonio won their championships, I'll tell you what else is impressive. 2003, 2005, 2007, 2014. Those are the 4 years that Ginobili and Duncan and Parker won their NBA titles. 2003, 2005, 2007, 2014. There's a big gap there. They never went back-to-back. And in this day and age in free agency and player movement, to me, that's impressive. Because player movement is rampant, and free agency, you constantly have individuals joining other top-notch franchises. San Antonio never really had that. They had the same group, and they were consistently good throughout the entire course of 2 decades. You go back and you look at what Ginobili managed to accomplish, And I'm glad Travis really did a 360 on if Ginobili's a Hall of Famer or not, because that guy is absolutely a Hall of Famer. Two-time All-Star, give me a break. Two-time All-NBA third team, again, give me a break. Sixth man of the year in 2008, again, proof of what type of team player this guy was. But it closes a chapter in the NBA that you will look back on fondly. Nobody hates the San Antonio Spurs. Nobody hates the Spurs. All right, if you're a Utah Jazz fan, you hate the Los Angeles Lakers. You hate Kobe Bryant. All right, if you're a Jazz fan, you hate the Chicago Bulls. You hate Michael Jordan. You may have respect for Michael Jordan, just like you have respect for Kobe, but you don't like him. You know, when the Jazz and the Rockets were competing, you didn't like the Rockets. You rarely hear of anyone talking about how much they hate the San Antonio Spurs. And I think for the last, like, 5 years, we were talking about this Spurs dynasty coming to a close, and it just kept going and going and going, and now it's finally gone. But Manu Ginobili has an unforgettable career, an unforgettable resume that I just don't think is getting the respect that it truly deserves. I got some statistics for you that are just crazy, okay? Over a 7-year stretch between 2004 and 2011, Ginobili averaged 17 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, almost 2 steals, and he knocked down a couple of 3-point shots per game, shot 45% from the field, 37% from deep, and hit about 85% of his foul shots during a 7-year span. Those are good numbers. Here's what's even greater. In that time frame, Ginobili led the Spurs in regular season win shares on 2 separate occasions. Okay, I was just talking about Tim Duncan, who I believe is the greatest power forward of all time. Tim Duncan, the big fundamental, 5-time NBA champ. That guy gave the San Antonio Spurs everything and more. Manu Ginobili actually had more win shares than Tim Duncan twice during that 7-year span. And more importantly, during that stretch, the Spurs won 2 championships. 04-05, when they stopped the Lakers from a 4-peat, and then they did it again in 2006-2007. And during that finals, they kept Detroit from winning back-to-back NBA championships. It's impressive. But here's what else stands out to me about Ginobili. You take a look at what he managed to accomplish in the EuroLeague. Multiple gold medals for Argentina. 2004 Olympic Games in Athens. I talked about Ginobili teaming up with Duncan and company to stop the Lakers on a 4-peat. Ginobili led his squad past the Americans in the semifinals back in 2004. And he made it look easy. Scored 29 points, had 3 assists, and dominated Team USA in an 89-81 Argentine victory. Without a doubt, that game right there, that performance in the 2004 Olympics, for me, I'll always remember Manu Ginobili in that regard, because since Team USA, since professionals were allowed to play in the Olympics, it has been a freaking cakewalk for Team USA. 92, 96, 2000, cakewalk. It was so easy that we may have lost interest because it was a foregone conclusion, right? Nobody could beat Team USA. Ginobili did. He led a team over the likes of Tim Duncan, Allen Iverson, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. I know LeBron and Dwayne Wade were young, but he led that team over Team USA with Nocioni, Luis Scola, Alberto, who had a couple of years with the San Antonio Spurs as well. To me, that is the moment that you look at Manu Ginobili and say, boy, this guy won at every single level, and he did it convincingly. End of an era in the NBA. One of the true nice guys. One of the true good guys in the NBA. You go back to his first game in 2002 till his last game in 2017-2018. Ginobili did it the right way. If Greg Popovich wanted him to come off the bench, you never heard anything from him. Carmelo Anthony sits up at a podium and he laughs at the idea of coming off the bench. Ginobili did whatever it took to win games. He put the team above himself. It's a cliche, I know, but we look for individuals like this in professional sports. And today, one of those guys said goodbye. Tremendous career, tremendous chapter in NBA basketball. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports right after this.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the grave. Real name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
Back to wrap up this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, live from the Auto Forum Studios. I know we talked a lot about the national sports front. There are plenty of other local sports stories going on. Make sure you visit CastleCountryRadio.com for those particular topics. One in general, which I know we're going to be talking about a little bit later on in the week, there is a new softball coach at USU Eastern. And there's a full press release on this at CastleCountryRadio.com. Ryan Smith is the new head softball coach. Ryan Smith is bringing a wealth of experience. Over the last 5 years, he's been the coach at Hurricane High School. 2 years of those five, he was the head coach. He's also coached 5 years at the competitive club level for the Southern Thunder as well. He's from Bear Lake area in Idaho. Three-sport athlete at Bear Lake High School. Played football, basketball, and baseball. Holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in social work from Cal State Northridge. Full press release again at CastleCountryRadio.com. New softball coach for USU Eastern, Ryan Smith. Hopefully we'll catch up with Coach Smith relatively soon here on the show. Now tomorrow we'll have more local sports talk. Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dinos will join us. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. You have a terrific Monday. Always fun to be along with you. Be safe. I am out.